Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
Today I have Ward Bell, who is a founder and VP of technology at IdeaBlade. He's a Microsoft MVP. He's the best dresser I know, one of the funnier guys in the industry, and generally a mensch. Ward, how are you?
A mensch. I love it. I love it. Mishpucha. I'm great. How about you?
I am great. I am doing just great and blasted to have you with me. I'm actually surprised it's taken that long to drag you kicking and screaming onto yet another podcast.
Well, I've been trying to avoid you, Jesse, but it's no longer possible.
Yes, that's right. We have something over you. So we have a lot to talk about, but let's start by talking a little bit about IdeaBlade and how that came to be and what it is you folks have to offer.
Well, thanks for that opportunity. Yeah, we started in 2000 or something like that, when .NET was 1.0 or not even quite. And the group of us have been together a long time, mostly building apps for businesses and as consultants. So we'd had a lot of experience with that. And we thought there was a lot of plumbing that you had to do and that we should provide that plumbing. So that's how we got started, particularly with a focus on distributed business apps, you know, like you've got your client out here and you're going over the wire and you're going to, you know, you got your server back there somewhere. And we did it for WinForms, and then WPF came along, we did it for that, and Silverlight. And gradually as the industry evolved, we became more and more concentrated on data. The problem that you face of moving data back and forth over the wire and being able to program it in some kind of easy way. And that was our .NET product, is our .NET product called DevForce. Recently, with all the excitement about HTML and JavaScript and the total vacuum in terms of how you manage data on a JavaScript client, we've got something that we're in an alpha with that does something along the same lines that we call Breeze, and maybe we'll get to that later. But anyway, that's it. If you're building a business application and you need to figure out how to get that data across and work with it comfortably on the client, you know, we're for you.
So is this essentially a control that I drop in or a set of frameworks or... What am I looking at when I'm looking at?
Well, you know, everybody hates the framework word, but that really is it. We do try and make it as easy as possible to, you know, like, so you don't spend any time in web config if you don't want to, trying to figure out how to line things up. Yes, it's a layer that you would use on server and client, and you know, you can sort of tumble out of the box and it just works. But as you begin to have other needs, you discover that we are there waiting for you to help you. So, but it's probably useful to talk about the kinds of things that go wrong. I mean, you know, one of our challenges, and you and I talked about it, is, you know, the first thing a developer does is think about how they're going to get the screens together, and they say, that data stuff's easy, right? It's easy as just dragging something over from a web service for a single entity, and bang, you got a proxy. Let's program against it. You've done that.
Done that. Been there.
Yeah, and it all looks great, right? Except that you don't. How many single entity applications have you written?
All of them.
One entity? Well, you know, it makes for a great demo.
It makes a great demo.
And I see this also in the JavaScript space. What's the classic example of that? It's a to-do app, which has got like two entities in it.
Yes.
But where I come from, apps often have models with hundreds of entity types and hundreds of screens. And it just don't work that way. So they start thinking about validation rules, and they want the same ones on the server and the client, and they want they don't want to have to keep mapping things from one form to another. As they go over, and they want iNotify property change to notify the UI or whoever's listening when things change, and they want validation, and they want to be able to compose queries on the client and just let them rip and not have to change the server and change tracking and, you know, authentication and authorization, and then they want interception on the back. It just goes on and on. And what happens is you start out with a simple hello world stuff, and before long, about like a month in, you're not spending time on UX anymore. You're scrambling to explain why you're spending so much time down in the data thing layer, which was supposed to be so easy. And that's how people write their own frameworks and leave just awful messes behind for the next guy to clean up.
Great. So that's where you guys come in, and that makes a lot of sense. Are you beginning to take a look at Win 8 yet, or is it too early for you?
Oh, we are already. Win 8 is our next target because we think there's going to be business apps written in Metro style on the WinRT side. I cannot keep track of the current name. For whatever it is that's over there.
Metro style apps, yep.
Metro style. But the whole, you know, that whole Metro space with its own environment and its own variant of .NET 4.5. We think that people are going to want to build business apps over there, deploy them over there, and they're going to need the plumbing. They're going to need the data access to do it.
So you see business apps, you see enterprise applications in the Win8 space?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I know that you know, some people think, why would I bother with that? I'm just going to have a desktop machine on my desk. But there are actually a lot of business scenarios in which moving around is important. And I think those mobility scenarios are going to be the ones that people first think, ooh, I've got this nice slate-like device. And it's even got a keyboard and a mouse in it, too. You know, I'm out in the field or I'm on the move. I got to do something. And I want it over here in Metro style. And obvious obvious to me kinds of examples of that will be CRM, you know, Salesforce, any business that has people in the field, they're going to want that platform.
Okay, so we're going to see real businesses building real Metro applications. And what's your guess about time frame? Are we looking at a 6-month curve here, or are we looking at a couple of years?
Oh, that's so hard to say. We don't know what the adoption is going to be. We saw that the Surface received a lot of positive critical views. Whether it will take off, is anybody's guess. What's interesting is that Microsoft has begun to shift some of the messaging around Win 8. It was in the beginning just consumer. We're going to be, you know, knuckle city, same, you know, going after the iPad. But I think that maybe there's some realization that shouldn't be the only way to go to market because that has too much Me Too. And recently, like a Tech Ed. You weren't at Tech Ed.
I was the one person. You know how when the president is giving the State of the Union, one member of his cabinet has to be left behind?
Absolutely, that, for safety's sake.
Exactly, and that was my job for Telerik, was I was the one evangelist who was left behind.
You were a heartbeat away from running the whole show.
I was, and oh, it was very exciting.
What an awesome responsibility, Jess.
But I did miss out on Tech Ed. Was it a good show for you? Did you get a great deal out of it?
Well, it depends on what I was looking for. If I was looking for, you know, amazing announcements that I were surprising, no. Was I looking for a developer show? No. But it was a great opportunity to meet everyday folk who have a job to do and who are trying to make decisions about whether this kind of thing, Win8, belongs in their businesses. And it was a great time to talk to vendors about how they see the space. And quite clearly that, you know, that the Tech Ed keynotes were pitched to my kind of people, the people we sell to, people who are building and, you know, who have businesses to run and they use software to run their businesses. We're not talking about people who are thinking about building the next Facebook or some kind of social networking thing.
Yes. I'm told that you had an interesting conversation with a woman on a plane.
Well, yeah, it kind of goes like that. I mean, this gets to the whole threat to the businesses. She was there for a sales conference. She wasn't a Tech Ed. She had a sales conference at the same time, and she'd been using a PC just like everybody else who's in business. And she was saying, "Well, I think I'm going to get an iPad. You know, I think I'm going to have to get an iPad." I said, "Really? But you're a PC person." She said, "Yeah, but, you know, it looks like the iPads, they're going to demand them in businesses and stuff." And I said, "Well, that's cool because it's a pretty nice device, but let me show you this thing." And I broke out my build tablet and I put it in front of her and I started showing her, the Metro side and then the PC side. And I wasn't trying, you know, just sort of saying, "Hey, it kind of works like this." And she kept looking at it and saying, "Ooh, I really want one of those because," she has all this work on the PC side. And it was all very familiar, you know, that sort of Win 7 look over there. And I said, you know, are you confused by having to shift gears between Metro and this Windows side? She said, not at all. I mean, I was, you know, that's the big gripe. You've probably heard it, is that people, the audience out there is going to be totally confused about having two operating systems in one. That didn't seem to be her concern. For her, the fact that it had a keyboard and a mouse and that she could run her existing software on it and then swing over to the beautiful new Metro look to, you know, to do those other kinds of things, that she found that really compelling. If I could have sold it to her on the plane, she would have bought.
Yeah, well, that is going to be the compelling story, is that, I mean, I remember back in the 90s when all the Mac folks were feeling very frustrated and having that Betamax experience of our technology is better, why isn't it catching on? And my feeling was that the one brilliant thing that the folks who were building DOS and later Windows were doing was backwards compatibility. And Windows 8 is a whole new thing, but there is a great deal of backwards compatibility there.
And they were pushing that at TechEd. You know, one of their angles is, yeah, you got that slate in your hand and you're having that wonderful experience with the touch and all, but, you know, suddenly you got to put it down and you got to use that old desktop that's on, you know, with the old dinosaur under the desk. And, you know, you pull that thumb drive out, jam it in there, and suddenly that old beast is cranking away Windows 8 better than it ran Windows 7. And you're using your mouse and keyboard. Yeah, you can't touch it, but it's designed to go those ways, and your whole environment shifts over. And so you're able to jump from device to device and keep that continuity of your work and the operating system and programs that you know. I think that's, you know, at least Microsoft thinks that's going to be compelling, and that certainly is a differentiation from where Apple is.
So let's shift gears and talk about this from a developer perspective. As a XAML programmer, as a C# programmer, looking at Windows 8, I know that there are a number of alternatives. The key alternatives are XAML and JavaScript and C++. Are you buying Microsoft's perspective, which is go with the one you know and that they're all equal?
I'm buying go with the one you know. Are they all equal in terms of productivity? No. And are they going to all draw, you know, how is it all going to play out? It seemed to me, as I look at it, it's going to, at least for the first years, it should be. It really should be that mostly people will develop in XAML on Win 8 for Metro. It's easier, much more productive, more of what you know comes over, and there are simply more people who know how to build client-side apps in XAML than there are in any of those other technologies. There's this crazy illusion out there that there's the world is filled with HTML JavaScript developers, that there are 10 times as many of those or something like that as there are XAML developers. Here's why it's an illusion. Can those people, like, spell JavaScript? Yes. Can they lay some of it down decoratively on their web pages to bring a little life to the page? Yes. Are they ready to write an entire client-side application in JavaScript with asynchronous calls and modularity and lots of little JavaScript files that are driving, that are composed together to drive the application and hardly ever going back to the server for HTML? No, they're not. There's the number of people who know how to program like that is fractional. It's got to be a few thousand at best. And I'm not trying to say here, you know, Jesse, sometimes people try and talk about the great developers and the good developers and the big. It's not about that. It's a sheer numbers game. How many people have ever programmed like that? And it's just not many. And so it's going to be hard. You're not going to find the people who have those kinds of skills to program in JavaScript on Windows. In a Windows RT box. Moreover, it's a proprietary platform. The appeal of HTML JavaScript is to go broad. And just because it uses the same language doesn't mean that the application you write is going to be portable. But somehow the marketing says, hey, it's all HTML JavaScript. That's what people know. They're going to be everywhere.
Well, let me stop you there because you said a very important thing. And you drew a very important distinction that I have not heard said a lot before, which is just because you're using a non-proprietary language, JavaScript, and a set of non-proprietary open standard development tools such as HTML5, if you build that for Windows 8, you can't expect that to then be universally applicable. You can't expect that to then work on various other platforms. So you're really undermining one of the very principles of the language that you're using to entice people in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it boils down to that. So let me make that more tangible. If you're going to program for Metro, in anything that even vaguely resembles Metro style, then you'll be thinking about those little charms over on the right, and you'll be thinking about how you're going to have, that's where your properties are going to live, and how you're going to do search and your contracts. And you're going to realize that you have to follow the four screen format rules for Metros, because there are four ways in which you can configure the screen. And you're going to be talking to the device, and you're going to, you know, the easiest way to do that is to talk to WinJS, which is the native, well, which is the JavaScript library that's provided for programming in Metro. And before you know it, you'll be programming for that device, and none of your view models, a little bit of the code will be portable, but the whole way in which you're going to organize the interaction and so forth is not going to translate to any of the other mobile devices. Now, you could bring jQuery and sort of homogenize the look so that it would pass in all these other places, but then you're not really programming for Metro, and I just don't think people are going to do it that way. Then you're just using Metro as sort of like a phone gap or something like that, and that is not the vision, certainly, that Microsoft is promoting, and I don't think that makes for a Metro app.
What about a flight away from XAML? Do you think that there's a risk that programmers who learn XAML specifically for Silverlight and WPF are going to decide that they're on the wrong track and that they need to make the jump over to something like JavaScript?
Well, they're clearly already feeling that way. And the pressures are coming from all over. One of them is Microsoft. Seems that some days as if Microsoft is pushing them out of the nest, doesn't it? Do you seem that way sometimes?
The message has been hard to understand, no doubt, and there's been a sense of dread that's almost palpable around historic XAML programmers.
Yeah, because they're kind of caught between things, right? You know it works great for WPF and Silverlight. You know if you've got a Windows device, and in business, almost everything is a Windows device today, that's the smart way to get the job done economically and to deliver a really great product. You can really deliver a good result, a great result, quickly. And it's hard to deliver. I mean, it's almost impossible to deliver anything comparable in JavaScript today. You simply can't. I will stand by that, which is not to say that you can't take two applications that look the same and do them in both technologies, but one you'll get done in XAML a heck of a lot faster and more reliably, and it'll be more maintainable than the one that you wrote in JavaScript. And that, I'll stand next to anybody and see if they can try and dispute that. So it's clearly the right thing today, but you're scared. You're right. You're scared because there's the iPad invasion, which is happening everywhere, and you're sitting there thinking, wow, you know, how am I going to cover all the bases? Should it be in HTML JavaScript, or should I go proprietary in any of these things? Like, the world is topsy-turvy. So everybody is uneasy. We're uneasy. We're hedging our bets. We're continuing to recommend Silverlight to people. We are building our WinRT product, and we're building a JavaScript product, because we got to be ready for whichever way the chips fall. But I think as people start to really look and see what it takes, if they can know that there's going to be a Windows device in the client's hands, they will stick with the XAML, because they know they'll have some place to land when it becomes Windows 8. And if they're going broad, if they know they have to reach clients on a variety of devices, they will abandon XAML and they will strive for something like a single-page app in HTML JavaScript.
And let's talk about single-page apps. Tell me a little bit more about what your thinking is there.
Well, from the beginning, I and my colleagues have believed that the kinds of things, the tense user interaction that is typical of a business application, not something where you're just consuming, reading, playing something, but actually have lots of rich data and interacting heavily and changing screens, that, you know, that kind of application cannot and has not historically been adequately delivered simply through web pages, you know, served in MVC style or web form style. It just, you just can't get the productivity for the end user who, and in those scenarios, I'm being very careful about this, in those kinds of applications, in those scenarios, your most important resource, you should have your computing close to the most important resource, and that's the human being sitting in front of the screen. So that means client-side execution of the application, client-side programming. And in a single-page application, what you're basically saying is, you know, I'll ship the shell down to you in HTML with a little JavaScript. But from there, everything that you see on the screen as a user is constructed for you dynamically by JavaScript on the client. Pages are moving in and out. Everything's moving in and out. And the client is just going back to the database, back to the server every once in a while for fresh data or to send some updates for data. But pretty much, you're trying to be on your own. This, by the way, is reinforced by the whole move towards mobility, because let's face it, the whole mobility game means that you don't have a terrific connection all the time. You have to be ready to operate in with a lost connection or even completely offline for periods of time. And again, you can, you know, that's what a single page application is all about. Create the shell in HTML, program it in JavaScript, but keep the logic and the data as much as possible, as much as necessary on the client. I think SPAs, single page apps, we're learning how to make them, and they are what the business application in HTML JavaScript will look like over the coming years.
And what is the technology of choice for building SPAs at this point?
Wow, Jesse. It's in turmoil, but that's where what's fascinating is you look at what's cool in JavaScript space, and let's lead Node and the server side out of this for the moment. If you look at a lot of the libraries, they're really focused on building these rich JavaScript clients. There are things like Knockout, which has over 90,000 downloads last I looked. But people are talking about doing data binding on the client. You don't need data binding on the client unless you're building a SPA. There's a lot of interest in modularity and things like require JS, because what happens is, you know, just like in .NET where you build, you know, your application is not one big file. I hope it isn't. Tell me, Jesse, you don't put everything in one file.
Well, you know, I write very, very small applications boards. So it has one data object and one file. And then I show that to people and they say, oh, cool. And I collect my fee and I go home.
Oh, that I could live your world. No, I mean, really, you know, a business app with hundreds of screens and all that stuff, you end up with lots of little files.
Yes, you do. And I'm sorry to keep pulling on your leg like that. Yes.
I'll pull my leg back, though.
Refactor, refactor, refactor.
Yeah. And so now, you know, like, who wrote JavaScript that way with I'm not talking about 10. I'm talking about potentially hundreds of little JavaScript files that you're not going to download one by one, by the way, but you are going to have, they're going to have dependencies and they're going to have to snap together. You're going to have to program like a real programmer, just like you were when you were building a .NET app. And so there are libraries that are focused on that problem. And there are a variety of templating libraries that are coming out. And all these things are snapping together. There are no winners yet, not even close. But the excitement in the space is, what do I need to build these single-page apps? What do I need to manage to put data on the client? Gosh, whoever thought of that? But now with mobile apps, you know, and tombstoning and the possibility that your app is going to go to sleep and you got to restore the state from a sleep state, you know, you got to start dealing with all of these very interesting clients. These were settled issues in the .NET space, reasonably settled. as to the variety of patterns you would use. All of these capabilities and feature sets are being reimagined and rebuilt in various JavaScript libraries.
Let me push back at you, Ward, for a minute. And I'm deeply invested in XAML, writing a book on Windows 8 with XAML. So the last thing I want to do is convince anybody that they should abandon XAML. But let me push for a moment. If single page apps are essentially JavaScript apps, and if cross-platform apps are essentially JavaScript apps, and if the exciting technologies are going on around ASP.NET MVC and JavaScript and jQuery and HTML5, and you can't miss the level of excitement there, and I'm JRandom programmer about to sit down and tackle Windows 8, why would I be wrong to say, you know, XAML may be more efficient or better in this very limited place of Windows 8, but in the big picture of multiple applications on multiple platforms and multiple different ways of doing things, and we don't know how things are going to settle out yet, what I should be doing is honing my JavaScript skills and then using that for Windows 8.
Here's the thing. A lot, you know, I mean, I have the luxury of exploring the shiny new toy stuff. And I love puzzles. And it's all puzzles right now. If you were to set out on this road yourself and try and figure this stuff out all on your own, you're going to get lost in the weeds really quickly. I mean, I'm usually out there in the weeds, but it's my job to be out in the weeds. It's not your job to be out in the weeds. The other thing to keep in mind is, what am I building for? If I am building an enterprise app, for my employees and my valued customers, and I can be reasonably assured that they are going to be having in their hot little hands a Windows machine, then I should program for that. And you know what? That's going to be a lot of people.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, I hate that phrase, but I just used it. You got to look at what kinds of apps you build, and there's, if those are the apps you build and that's your audience and you want to get paid for the apps you build, not a game or some social networking thing, then you got to pick the path that is going to deliver the goods. And right now, and for a good long time, I think that's a really good bet. I think XAML is a great bet. I think it's crazy to be doing HTML, JavaScript, if that's your scenario right now. Because in a year or two from now, then maybe you take a look at it. And at that time, you can decide again. And by that time, maybe somebody's got a roadmap for you. And you can learn in days what takes the rest of us weeks and months to learn.
How hard is the learning curve on Windows 8?
On Windows 8, if you know, if you're already familiar with Silverlight or WPF, there are some edges there. You're bound to find some disappointments, so I don't want to sugarcoat it. But man, your tooling is the same. They move the cheese on you a little bit because some of the libraries have shuffled around. You know this as well as I. But it feels a lot the same. And now with the, you know, you have to deal with async, but you got used to that if you wrote Silverlight apps. So you're already kind of clued into what it means to write a client-side app that is asynchronous. And so you got that. And now with the await keyword, it's easier. So I think it's going to be pretty good. And the evidence also from watching other people is pretty good too. I was looking at a lot of those tech ad apps. They were XAML apps. Mm-hmm. Those guys can crank out things a lot faster in XAML than anybody can in HTML and JavaScript.